you're here. Fellowship's real. Knowing you're near.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Friday, September 7th, 2018. And as is typically our practice on Fridays, we open up and discuss portions from the book of Exodus. But as I was just sharing with Jason, he said, hey, it's time to start. Hey, maybe we can carry on this conversation. And I had just said on Tuesday, I think it was, I was listening on my way in to SRN News, and they made kind of one of these statements. Now, SRN News is usually a four-minute broadcast near the top of the hour. Usually there's the initial stories in the first 2 minutes, and then sometimes they have about a minute of religious news and then a recap of the top stories. But I think in the religious
news, usually the thing that we preempt because we talk so long.
Yeah, that's right, when we go over with our morning program. But on Tuesday, I think they were stating that in China, apparently the Chinese government, now again, I don't know if this was totally accurate. Sometimes there's spin to the news story and such, but they had stated that the Chinese government was telling families or mandating that children couldn't go to church. And I started thinking about some of your passion in ministry at the Community Evangelical Free Church in Muhammad. Is the goal family worship, equipping parents to have church in the homes, in a sense? And I was thinking, here the Chinese government, if it's in fact true, is saying no children can go to church. It's going to force the parents to bring church back to the children in their home setting. And I thought, wow, that's part of Jason's goal and maybe a principle that God would have all of us to have, having church at home, the parents, husband and wife, or whoever's in that role, to be proclaiming the good news message, dividing God's word, sharing scripture, and allowing the home to be the place where they learn about God. So I don't know if that's all true. I didn't research it anymore, but it sounded like apparently the Chinese government was making restrictions, trying to keep children away from church.
I actually was Googling it while you were doing your intro there. And it is. It is. The Catholic News Online, the Protestant News Resources outlets.
Wow, this is quick that you got.
Yeah, the Daily Mail is what I pulled up. China bans children from attending church services as it continues a crackdown on religious practices. The Catholic News Service said that Chinese priests have been ordered to put up signs that say children are not allowed to attend church.
Wow.
Yeah, I find this fascinating for two reasons. Maybe three, actually. So we should really have a conversation about this, because this is why I thought we needed to talk about it when you brought it up. Because sometimes we have these great conversations off air when we get together. And I'm like, gosh, we should just hit record. And kind of one day we'll have like the archive of the hidden conversations. Yeah. You know, it'll be sort of like the Nixon tapes, but it'll be like us, you know, talking.
The listener knows how many times I draw from your prayer time topics to share or discuss when we go live here. And so anyways, I'm just surprised just with me sharing this just before we started the broadcast that you were able to pull up something. So what, you just do a Google search?
Yeah. There's a lot. Minors are reportedly banned from participating in religious activities. Members of the church were told not to participate in religious activities, and churches were not allowed to organize youth summer camps. That's probably a big deal, especially I would guess that foreigners, Americans and from other countries, missionaries come over and do like these VBS, Awana-type camps during the summer. China is in the midst of a religious revival, it says, and the current government seems concerned that religion could be a means through which foreign values may penetrate into China and ultimately affect political stability. Mm. There was a story a year ago, maybe it was a year and a half ago, where they did a census in China, and there was more Christians than there were communists. And this, in turn, made Xi, who is the president of China, made him put out a proclamation that all Christians needed to register as communists so they could bring the number back up. And since China is having this amazing revival now, I would say this. Gosh, I'm not even in my 3 points yet. But I would say this, that one of the reasons why I think that China is in the midst of such a great revival, and you could speak to this intimately and with a real power, is that there are so many Chinese who are coming to America for education. I mean, how many people do you have in your English conversation class right now?
And we're anywhere averaging from like 45 to about 70. And another thing that I was just thinking that jumped into my mind, Holly gave testimony a week or so ago that where she attends, 27 Chinese were baptized. Hmm. So not just coming to Bible studies, but actively being presented before the congregation in a public setting that they want to be followers of Jesus. I think it was 20, I don't think it was 47. I think it was 27 Chinese in the last year or something.
So just think, those people still would consider themselves to be Chinese citizens, are most likely, at least I would think a great percentage of those people are going to go back to China.
Yeah, have returned.
Right. And so we would think that it's our job here as American Christians to be missionaries to others. But what's happening really is God has brought those people here. We are, through our influence and through the, just the way we live our life, you know, because I think you've said it many times, that Chinese are just very curious about why we do things. Conversational English class is more about kind of the American stuff that, when I see you doing it, like the holidays.
And, yeah, our culture.
And money, and what is an umbrella, and all this kind of, when I see you doing it, I'm like, oh, that's so interesting, because I thought it would be like, you know, reciting sentences, like say these sentences so that they can get a working knowledge of English. Sort of like when we go to another country, we try and get a working knowledge of that language. But it's more trying to understand the intricacies of English, because we have so much slang and we have so much different kind of terminology that we use.
And just who we are as a people. And one of the most fascinating things, and this has occurred over and over again, just recently a new Chinese student was like amazed that we volunteer. They said all these teachers volunteer, and he couldn't get his mind around it. Why would they do that? You know, we have that American spirit. We give, we sacrifice, we help. We've volunteered through years and years, but I don't know if that's, I won't say it's a foreign concept in China, but they're always amazed of all the volunteering efforts that go on. I think the Chinese are very committed to their family or maybe to the Communist Party or whatever. But to just freely volunteer to help others is, for the most part, a foreign concept, because they always just say, why does everyone do this? And I'm like, well, for the most part, they're Christians and they're good people. And the Bible clearly talks about extending care to the alien. So we know the biblical precedent that we're supposed to reach out and help people. But I know they always marvel at all these teachers volunteer. Why do they do that?
Well, and I think, too, you know, when you're from a country that you're made to do things, you know, and communistic countries tend to be like that. You're part of this thing. You have to do this. This is your. And so when people freely do that, they don't understand. I mean, I think I saw a video years ago of a Chinese gentleman who said the best part of America, and this is a guy who was an atheist, and he was an atheist economist, and he said the best part of America is the church. And the reason the best part of America is the church is because the church naturally wants to follow the rules. At least it should. You know, a church or Christians, per se, naturally want to do the speed limit. They naturally don't want to cheat their brothers. They naturally want to help their friends. They naturally want to be a good part of society. And so he was saying the church is really a great part of that. But he said, you know, in a communistic country, the church is scary because the church for the government is an opposing entity. And the government doesn't understand why people would freely give of themselves.
Yes, by when that they could, allegiance.
Yeah, when the government could make you give of yourself. And so, yeah, so they're making these people put up signs. They're telling them they're not allowed to be a part of churches. They can't do these summer camps, which is really interesting because they're telling kids they can't go to church. So the first thing I think I said to you, which spurred this conversation, is the government doesn't even understand what church is. Because they're thinking of church as the institution. And again, that's what leads me to believe that what they're more scared of is this opposing entity. Because they don't understand what the church is. If they understood what the church was, they would realize that it's every single person, not the entity. And so you could say you can't come to the church. But even a cursory understanding of history, the Jews couldn't go to the temple at one point. And that's when, you know, we have things like Psalm 119, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Why? Because suddenly religious activity was not geographic. It wasn't going to the temple to worship, but you became the temple. And the New Testament tells us you're a temple where the Holy Spirit resides. The Spirit of God is in you. And so everywhere that you go, there is a church, and there's just waiting for worship to break out, either you worshiping or you and a group of other people getting together and worshiping. And I heard it rightly said by a missionary one time. He said, what is the gathering together of the church? It is a network of smaller churches getting together to do the thing that they were called to do, to worship together. So if you have a church that's 100 people, you have 100 smaller churches getting together on Sunday morning to be the big C church, you know, to lift that up. So I think the Chinese government doesn't understand what church is.
Well, I was thinking, too, when you tell a child you can't do this, that's like,
yeah.
That's not going to work out for
you. Well, not only that, but you're telling Christians to do something that, I mean, immediately, you know, and you would say, well, as our practice is, we talk about the Exodus on Friday, so we can talk about the Exodus now. A governmental entity trying to stand opposed to God's commands for his people. God commands in the Exodus, let my people go that they might worship me. And this governmental entity, the Pharaoh, says, no, you need to worship me. Fast forward, thousands upon thousands of years, you've got the Chinese government saying, no, you need to worship at the altar of communism. And these Christians are going, no, we worship Jesus Christ and him crucified, risen from the dead. And so now you've got these two opposing things. And so you've got these Chinese people. Do I do what God says or do I do what the emperor says?
Right.
And so
history repeating itself.
History totally repeating itself. You know, nothing is new under the sun. But it made me remind me of Martin Luther when he is commenting on Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10 being prophetic for the future. So Daniel 10 is writing about a day in the life of Daniel, in the book of Daniel, but also for something to come. Prophetic words are always for now and for later. And so Luther, commentating on Daniel 10, says there will come a day when the pulpits will grow dim, they will grow dark, and they will grow silent, and the word of God will be taught at home. Hmm. It will be the responsibility of the fathers to teach the word.
And this was something you recently preached about, passion.
Yeah. Oh, you know, when I read that, I thought, yes, there will become a day where we no longer will be able to gather like this, or we no longer will gather like this, or we no longer will want to gather. I mean, I don't know what it'll be like. I have no idea. It's a like territory that I don't understand. But there will come that day, and the responsibility of everybody in the church would be to be able to lift up the word of God at home. And we've made the church such the place that we become dependent upon for all of it. I mean, we have parents who send their kids to church and they entrust their, I want to be so kind here, but they entrust their kids' spiritual lives to 20-year-old kids who are called youth pastors. And I'm not being mean or disrespectful to youth pastors, but I think, gosh, if I'm going to be the guy who's going to give myself over to somebody to teach and walk alongside my children, I want like an old grizzly wise man who's like, he's done some life. You know what I mean? It's sort of like if you get on an airplane. I don't like airplanes, so this is a good example for me. But if I get on an airplane and I look in the cockpit and there's a 20-year-old kid who's like, hey, welcome. Good to have you aboard. I just got my license. First time in the air. You're like, we're all going to die. But if you get on board on the plane and you look in the cockpit and there's like the Chuck Yeager guy, he's got wrinkles and gray hair and his wings, you know those wings have seen time in the air. And he's like, welcome. We're going to get this bird in the air. We're going to fly a little ways. And when we get there, we're going to land it. It's just like coming down on a muffin. It's going to be wonderful. You're like, I could actually go to sleep during this flight. It's going to be all right. And so, again, it's nothing against I love youth pastors, and I love the work that they're doing, that they're giving themselves to. But the problem is not the youth pastors. The problem is parents have said, hey, that's good. That's good. Take care of my kids. I don't have to take care of my kids. You know, it's sort of like all the other things that we deal with right now. A couple of months ago, my wife tried out this service. They had like a free trial, $20. And they would send you like a box with everything you needed to make your meal. It was called like, I forget what it was called actually. I was so not on board with it. It was crazy. But it just arrived. And I'm like, what's this thing? She's like, oh, that's our next three dinners. I'm like, in that box? She's like, yeah, there's the recipe. There's all the ingredients. There's everything you need to do. We don't even have to think about dinner. All we have to do is just follow the instructions and make it. And I go, but what if I don't want blackened salmon for dinner? She goes, well, that's what's for dinner. And so suddenly the onus on me to make dinner, to pour love into that, to get the kids, all that is taken off the table. Now, I know some people are busy and that just works for them, but we take that and we love that as a culture. We love kind of finding somebody to make that decision for us so we don't have to make any of it for ourselves. And so I think we do that with our spirituality. But listen, there will come a day when that no longer exists. I mean, just think about it. If you totally bought into that because you just couldn't wrap your head around ever learning how to cook or ever experimenting with cooking or ever even attempting to cook, and all you ever did was order that box and that arrived and that place went out of business, what would you do? I mean, would you suddenly sit in your house for a day or two going, are we going to starve? Like, I don't what do you know? What do you know how to make? Really, and listen, this hits home because I don't want to pick on you, but I'm going to pick on you. I remember years ago when I first met you, and Karen gave you like a sack of potatoes and a potato masher and instructions on how to make potatoes, and you were like, I'm going to make potatoes. And I'm like, you don't know how? And you're like, no, never done it. Yeah. And I was like, dude, boil, mash, butter. Yeah. It's not hard. And but I was I'm always shocked when you come across people who things that I take for granted,
right.
It's just not a part of what they do. But I wonder if that box stops coming, are there going to be people who are going to be like, I don't know what to do. You know, sort of like people who, you know, when the electricity goes off and they're like, oh, what do we do? Right. And the old grizzly people down the street are like, I remember when there's no power, we just shot things and started fires. Yeah. You know, and it's, I don't know why everybody who lives around me who has any chyme under their belt is from the South. But I just think that we've arrived at this time where we've kind of sold off so many parts of our life that we don't know how to take care of ourselves. And listen, I think that trickles down. This is from our Wednesday program. That trickles down to following God. We want somebody else to lead us to God. We want somebody else to help us find God. We want somebody else to do all these things. And people play a part in that. But you're supposed to be the obedient one. You're supposed to be the one who opens up the Bible and reads it. You're supposed to be the one who trains your children, who impress upon them the way that they should go when they lie down and when they get up. And, you know, Deuteronomy chapter 6 later on says, and when your son asks you, what do the commandments and the statutes of God mean, you will say to him. Why will you say to him? Because you know. And I run across a lot of parents, and if this is convicting for you, I thank God for that conviction. You should have an answer. If your son or daughter goes, what is this? And you go, ask your pastor. That's a problem. Because the primary pastor of your children is you. And if you're a grandparent, primary job of pastoring your grandchildren is you. You are the person. You have the most influence. You have the most time. You have the most everything. Why wouldn't you use that? You're going to send them to church for an hour or 2 hours a week. And the most important thing that they have, their eternal life, their relationship with Jesus Christ, and you're going to give it to 2 hours a week. Maybe they go for four. Woo! 4 hours a week. Listen, I know guys who are invested in golf who spend more than 4 hours a week thinking about playing and doing things related to golf. And you would give your grandchildren over to that small amount of time when you could be the one who could be constantly impressing upon them who Jesus is and what Jesus is. So my first question for the Chinese government is, what is church? Then Martin Luther's quote about, you know, that the pulpits will grow dark and silent and the responsibility of the Word of God will fall upon the parents. And then the last thing is why are they scared of the children? You know why they're scared of the children? They're scared of the children because Jesus says that if you have a faith like a child, you'll change the world. So listen, most people who are not faithful know enough about faith to be scared by the power that faith has. And listen, if you get the hearts of the children, I knew this guy who was doing evangelism. He was doing it to like Middle Eastern countries. And I was saying to him, I said, well, tell me about how you're doing this. So he was in Pakistan or something. I think you and I went to this because there was like this gospel band that played something in the Rockets or something like that. Mm. We went to this at the iHotel together. This was when you and I were running around together. And I kept winding up at these crazy gatherings where you're like, come on, I got an extra ticket. And I would go. And afterwards, I'm like, why did we go? And I realized why we went, because you needed like, it was like Laurel and Hardy. And you needed, Laurel didn't have Hardy. You needed somebody to nudge at the table and make a joke. But we were there at this thing. And the guy was talking about his ministry in Pakistan to Muslims. And he was saying, the older Pakistanis will not hear the gospel. They won't even allow me to have the chance to talk to them. But they so want their kids to learn English that they will allow their kids to come and learn in English from me, even though they know I'm telling them the gospel. And so there is great power in the children. Again, because Jesus says, look, if you have this childlike kind of faith, the faith of children who would say, I believe, and you can't take it from me. Get that bedrock kind of stone in there early and then begin to build the house upon it. It's a lot harder. Look, it's easy to pull a stone out when the house isn't built upon it. But once you build all the other things upon it, the longer you follow Christ, it gets harder to pull that stone out. Mm-hmm. And so these kids, that's why they're scared of the kids. And the last thing is, it's really kind of sad because Christian values, Christian ethic, Christian ethos, just like that atheist who was an economist would say, those values always benefit a country. Those all values always benefit a people group, because having a self, I mean, that's why the hospitals were founded by Christians. The care organizations were initially always founded by Christians and that. Why? Because they had a vision for something outside of themselves that would help others. And so, you know, I just think that it's interesting that they would do that. I really do think it's interesting, but I also think it's a blessing. And I, how do I want to say this? I pray for that kind of persecution to come to our country so that parents might get off their duff and begin to disciple their children the way they should. I am really okay if I have to go and move lumber at Lowe's because everybody is training their children at home. Mm-hmm. I really am okay with that, because I would rather know and go to my grave knowing that parents are equipping their children in the home to follow and love Jesus.
And I think that's what, after reading that verse, that was a passion that God put on your heart, the importance of you equipping the parents to go home and do the ministry, the church work in their homes.
Yeah. The Bible doesn't let you get out of that. The Bible is very explicit about what the parents' duty is, even so much so as that in the process you don't exasperate your children while they're learning who Christ is.
And I'm just thinking, there's some of you that say, well, I don't have children, or, you know, I'm not married and we don't have children, or I'm not in a situation. Well, you know a neighbor kid, you know a family nearby, you might invite yourself over that, or host Bible studies in your home and invite the children after school to come by, bake some cookies, get some food. Yeah. You'll draw them into your home and you'll be used of God in that role to divide.
Everybody has influence, and that's the big kind of gray area where people are like, well, I don't have any kids. You know somebody and you have that influence. Exercise that influence.
Amen and amen. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day, night, and weekend.
Ba-dum-bum.